back to Washington. I don't think I can catch a break.
But I've missed the circus. It's been a summer without it.
Yes.
So much happened, and now it's back.
That's true. Thank God. I would like the circus to be on every week just to make me feel better that I'm not actually losing my mind, that other people are losing their mind with me. and I get why they can't be, but because they're going to die just doing 1 week of this at a time. And the pace at which and the breadth of this story, because for people who have not seen it on Showtime, the whole idea here is that this group of three or four different reporters, and some of them are reporters and some of them are former campaign specialists, you know, go out and they get interviews about whatever's happening in that week. And that could be really far flung. You could be overseas and getting an interview. Or last week, you had John Heilman sitting there with Steve Bannon at Steve Bannon's house. Well, Steve Bannon can't figure out how to work the TV. And it was the damnedest thing I have ever seen, Mark McKinnon. The damnedest thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, you're right. If we did any more episodes than we're already doing, we'd have to do it from the hospital.
Totally true.
You fit a lot in, that's for sure.
No, I tell you, I mean, this week was a good example of how difficult this show is to do, and because we have to be so nimble. Part of what we're doing this fall is covering the midterms, and so we want to focus on different parts of the country and different races. And so this week we were going to focus on Florida, just because they got big governor's race, Senate race, House races that are really important, and just because of Florida's importance historically, politically, and culturally with everything that's going on there. We got there, and while we're on the plane, the Kavanaugh news breaks, and 4 hours later we turn around and fly back to D.C. I mean, it's, you know, so...
What do you know? Let's talk about what broke today, because this obviously, you know, you're Wednesday. You got plenty of time, Mark. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you have till 8 o'clock on Sunday to figure this out. As we understand it, Chuck Grassley has now informed everybody involved in this that they are expecting a hearing on Monday. The accuser here says that she would like an FBI investigation before she sits down, and basically Grassley saying, hey, you're invited. You want to be here on Monday, be here on Monday, because Kavanaugh's going to be there on Monday, we understand. Is that your understanding as well?
That's correct. And I just left Senator John Kennedy's office. He's from Louisiana. 30 years ago, when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, a mentor said, if you think you know anything about politics, go to Louisiana and get your PhD. And I did, and I worked on a campaign for governor, a guy named Buddy Romer, and I worked with John Kennedy, who's now in the United States Senate and who's on the Judiciary Committee. And so I talked to him about this, and my main question was this. So you're pushing ahead with the vote, with the hearing on Monday and a vote on Wednesday, and you say you want to know the truth and you want all the facts, and yet unless you have an FBI investigation, it's just he said versus she said. So I don't know how you get facts out of that or how you learn anything more. And during Anita Hill, they did an FBI investigation in 3 days. And also for John Tower, when something, you know, new information broke, the FBI got involved. So, I mean, the optics of this, I think, are difficult for the Republicans because it looks like they're rushing to it. You know, I understand that they're sort of saying, well, you know, she's had to get her chance to talk, but... Yeah, I can also understand she's getting death threats and, you know, that she wanted to be anonymous. She never wanted to be in the limelight like this. So I think it's fair to say, you know, she'd like a little bit more time. On the other hand, you can also see the Republican view, which I think a lot of people are, you know, accept, which is this is a last minute, you know, thing. And there's no question it's last minute. So people are suspicious just because of the timing of it. Although when you kind of tick-tock all the timing and the rationale for that, there is apparently a rationale anyway. But anyway, so this is classic, you know, Washington stuff, but it's high stakes and it's important. And, you know, it could have real consequences long range for this election and for both Republican and Democratic parties.
Dr. Ford is asking for this in lieu. She won't testify or won't come forward until the FBI does this additional background check. But only I understand that the White House has to order that, and doesn't seem as if they're going to do that. Does that show you there's some confidence that this will sail through without it? Is that what you think Republicans are thinking?
I guess so. Although I got to say, if you're Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, two women Republican senators, that makes it more difficult for me, I think, if I'm one of them, because I think they want to be able to say it's got a complete and fair hearing. And, you know, the Grassley saying at the same, you know, so we can investigate this. Well, they can't investigate it like the FBI does and can and has done before. So,
but he wants a vote
for the FBI getting involved.
And let me start. Yeah, there is a precedent for it, and there is a. But let me stop you on this point. They want to vote within the next couple of weeks, right? Because TikTok here.
Right.
So they can they investigate it in those couple of weeks? And as you as you're pointing out, if the FBI can get in and do this in 5 days as opposed to three, given the two extra, because there's not too much here. They're not going to be, there's no forensic evidence that they have to look at. No. This is, they're just looking at witness testimony. She's going to have to identify where this party was, approximately
was
when it was.
Where was it?
Yeah, and who was
when
there.
Was it and who was there?
Yeah. And they, and this, and the FBI is going to be able to try to track this down. It is, you know, the president is a victim of his own rhetoric here in some respects, because he's been asking the FBI to investigate everything, right? All of his enemies.
Yeah, right,
and so
yeah.
It's really hard now to say, well, I can, you know, we can't have the FBI doing that. You know, they're busy trying to investigate
my attorney general. Point. They can do anything else but this.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good point.
Right. And that, the politics of that, or the optics of that are bad. And it's just in the optics for women. Women and men see this very differently. And like I think in a lot of ways, like the Me Too movement and other things, I think there's a lot of guys that are stunned by the amount, because this does seem like it's 36 years old. It's a long time ago. What happened at a party? I mean, does it actually count if this is not part of a pattern and practice of behavior? And there doesn't seem to be anybody else popping forward here like Me Too. You know, it was like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, one thing came out and then 40 more came out within days, or, you know, or Bill Cosby or some situation like that. This does seem to be a one-off accusation and not a pattern of behavior. And does that really count? But when I bring that up to women, present company included, I get this look like, well, sit down for a second. Let's hear this thing out, because women have experienced this, you know, in ways that we don't think that they, if, you know, we weren't there, we don't think they did.
I think you want to believe that there's a fairness to the process. And I think it is hard not to look at this one through slightly a political lens, and potentially even there's a lot of feelings of payback after the Merrick Garland situation, certainly coloring a lot of people's views on this. There's no doubt. And that I think you believe the accuser and you believe what he says. And I think there's a tough job for senators trying to figure out this confirmation. But I just want to, you saw George W. Bush, and I know you're very close to the Bushes, talk about, stand up for this guy and said he's of great character, he'll make a superb justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's starting to pick up people like that coming forward to say, get this done. It seems I'm hearing from that.
All right, so.
Yeah, I, by the way, I know and work with Brett Kavanaugh, and I think he's outstanding. I think he has great character. I think he'd be a terrific Supreme Court justice. And by the way, I tell my Democratic friend, I said, you know, you be careful what you're asking for here, because if he goes down, I bet that the White House doubles down and gets somebody much more ideological and more conservative than Kavanaugh. So, but here's a question for you all that I pose. To me, it seems like the better response from Kavanaugh would have been not outright denial, but say, because then you're saying that this woman is a liar. I think the better approach might have been to say, listen, I don't recall that party at all. I have no recollection of that incident. You know, if it happened, I mean, there's a possibility I was at a party and I was 17 and I was really drunk and maybe was exercising some inappropriate behavior, but I don't remember it, which is not a good excuse. But I, you know, and I mean, would that have been survivable?
No, because you can't say sexual assault is okay if you're drunk. And so it's, you know, it's not okay when you're drunk. It's not okay when you're sober. And I think that he would have opened up the door to saying, yeah, I might have done that.
Yeah, I think he loses Murkowski on that. Can I ask you one more right before we let you go? Jeff Sessions today. See, the president has been acting very, very demure by his standards to the last couple, very presidential, very professional in his application of things. And he's been moderate in tone. And we, you know, if we take a little extra time, we're going to do this. It's the kind of thing that you see. And I thought, All right. Well, he must be looking at his poll numbers, right? And he must be thinking, and his people must have said to him, listen. You're losing suburban women. You're going to lose even more here. This is going to cost. This is the difference between the House, the Senate, and your reelection in 2020. And he's listening, which tells me he can take instruction, which is, you know, at least for a period of time. Now, he this morning goes out and says, I do not have an attorney general about Jeff Sessions. And I mean, the United States has an attorney general. The president doesn't have an attorney general. What do you make of this? I mean, you've seen a lot of stuff, Mark McKinnon. What could this possibly, how does this end?
Well, it ends badly. I mean, I think that this all goes back to, the much bigger issue, which is the Mueller investigation, which is where everything started unraveling. And I think that Donald Trump wanted an attorney general who would protect him from any investigation. And I think the reason he's so wound up about that is that he thinks there's stuff there that Mueller knows about or is finding out about and is problematic, or else he wouldn't be so concerned about his attorney general.
Yeah. Well, what could he know? And the release of these unredacted emails now from the Justice Department, from the FBI, does seem to be a shot across the bow, the FBI, and how many other agents, you know, you got Page and Strzok and Orr and all the rest of those people that know that they are in the teeth of the lion here, or the belly of the whale, or whatever it is, wherever they are. They're somewhere bad, right? But they know it. But what about all the other thousands of hardworking men and women there who are out doing their job and thinking, wait, could they, what have I just put on an email? Or what am I, you know, or a text message, I should say, not an email. You know, what did I just text to somebody? And that it's sort of like why cops in Chicago don't want the audio in their cars, right? It's like, you know, who knows what you say when you're like not always doing your job.
Right. Well, Donald Trump, I think, said something about, you know, he wanted his legacy to be that he blew up the FBI. You know, that's how focused he is now on that pursuit. But again, to me, that just sends all the wrong signals.
Oh, my God. Listen, I'd be happy if this name that fort in Poland after him, Fort Trump, tell him he's a success. He can retire now and go back to playing golf. It's all good.
There you go.
There's an answer.
Yeah. So it's only Wednesday. I'm sure we'll have a completely different show by Friday.
Yeah, I know.
Everything. Forget all that.
You know what I'm going to do? It's funny that you mentioned that. I'm going to track this for next Monday.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
I'm going to take this interview, and we're going to take all these things. And if I think the over under is one of these things making the show. One.
I'll bet the none.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. We'll talk to you next week.
Take
Mark McKinnon. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
That's what we'll do. Mark McKinnon. All right. Let's check in with Judy Pilak. What's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
California's biggest ever wildfire is now contained.